Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches. We will begin on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom of Sav Rameya. In our previous shir, we had learned the opinion of Rameya, who taught us that kol erva, any situation that we have in erva, that bezdin yisroma misan alea, that if a Jew did such an avera, he would be mechuyev misa, misas bezdin. That is the type of situation that B'nai Noach are prohibited from doing. But if it's the type of erva that is not of that category, that Bezdin does not give Mises Bezdin, then the halacha is that a B'nai Noach is not also to do such an act. And as the Rishonim debate in introducing our sugya, according to Rashi, our Gemara will now introduce a brisa which seems to contradict both of Rameyer's statements. Because from this brisa, we seem to see that in a situation where there would be Mises Bezdin by Klal Yisrael, yet the brisa seems to say that it's Mutter by Goy, and yet the brisa also speaks about a situation whereby Yisrael, there would be only a Chiyuv Kares, and yet the brisa seems to say that under such circumstances, the goy would be usher to do it, which represents a double stira to what Rameya just said. According to Tosfos, the Gemara's question is specifically from the situation where the goy gives, from where this brisa says there's a case of chiyuv mises bezdin. Yet our Gemara says that the Zechiv Mises Bezdin, the Jew is Osir and the Goy is Mutter. Another Rishonim focus on the Chorus aspect, on the Chorus question. So says the Gemara, for Sav Rameya, does Rameya hold that Kol Be'erva Shebezdin Yisrael Mimisan Leh, for every erva that a Jewish court would execute, Ben Noach Muzer Leh, that Ben Noach is Osir to have that type of relationship? Is that true? V'hatanya, we learned in a brisa. The brisa speaks about the following circumstance. Ger shai shai rasa shloi b'kedusha, he was conceived when his mother was not Jewish. V'lei dasai, but before his mother gave birth to him, his mother had geiris, and therefore he's born as a Jew. And a word of introduction is required. The halacha is that gershon is gayer kikotin shenoy ladomi. Therefore, halachically, any Jew, any person that's megayer has no relatives, and therefore theoretically, this person, when he's born, the halacha ought to be should be able to have relations with any, should be able to marry any relative in the world. However, Chazal said that he may not. And here, there's a very important machloikis as to why. We're going to learn our Gemara. We're going to learn the entire sugya like Rashi. The Rashi says that the reason is, Shlo yoimru barna mikedusha chamura l'kedusha kala. We don't want to have a situation where somebody becomes a ger, and people will say that he will be permitted to do things that he would not have been permitted had he remained a goy, which would be a difficult situation to understand. And therefore, any erva that's usher to a goy will remain usher to him. Any erva which is not usher to a goy will not be prohibited to him. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Furthermore, according to Rashi, why did the Gemara choose a case of Hayrosoi Shloi B'Kedusha V'Leidosa B'Kedusha? According to Rashi, the Gemara could have said the same case even in a situation that the Hayrosa V'Leidosa was Shloi B'Kedusha, that the same thing would apply. What the Gemara, according to Rashi, is trying to emphasize is that if there was somebody who was Hayrosoi V'Leidosa B'Kedusha, that his mother was Megayer before she conceived him, According to Rashi, with such a ger, we're going to be more stringent. Why? Because such a ger very much looks like a Jew, and if we're not going to treat him like a full-fledged Jew, mistakes can be made with Jews who have certain halachas, will make the error seeing that he married somebody, and they will assume that they too may marry such an individual. That's Rashi's approach to the entire Gemara. Tosfos seems to learn just the opposite, perhaps, that somebody who's hayrasa v'lei dasa b'kedusha is considered a complete full-fledged Jew, and we, in a stronger way, apply the concept of Gersh and his guy could cut in Shanoi Ladami, and it may well be that he could marry anyone. A very bechidish. Really, the machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos depends on what is the reason why Chazal were makmer on Gerim. Do we say that the reason is because we're concerned that people are going to learn from them? That's one approach in the Rishonim. Or is the approach in the Rishonim because we don't want to say Bonim Kedusha Chamura L'Kedusha Kala? Again, as I pointed out, we're going to be learning our sugya like Rashi. And the Gemara is teaching us that the ger who was hayrasa shloi b'kedusha, v'leis dasa b'kedusha, the halacha is yesh lo she'er ha'aim, relatives from his mother, maternal relatives, he may not marry, because goyim can't marry maternal relatives, and as we're learning, we don't want to have a situation that we treat him more stringently than we treat less stringently than we treat a goy. The Eloi Sheraf, but relatives, that paternal relatives, given that goyim may marry paternal, goyim may marry paternal relatives, that's why he too may marry paternal relatives. In fact, the Mefarshim say now we understand why goyim are called l'umim in the Torah. Lumim is similar to the word aim, meaning that it's only maternal relatives that are concerned. Paternal relatives, as our Gemara is teaching us, are not relatives by goyim. Furthermore, we now understand a question that many, many Mefarshim discuss, and that is, especially if we're learning now, that we're learning in our sugyas, that included in the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach are arayas. So even if we don't get into the discussion if the Avos were Jews or not, a subject that we will discuss in Mitzvah Shem, certainly they had to follow Zayin Mitzvah B'nai Noyach. So how was Yaakov able to marry Rachel and Leah? Weren't Rachel and Leah sisters? The answer the Rishonim give is that they were only paternal sisters. And our Gemara is clearly teaching us now that only maternal relatives are an issue by Goyim, not paternal relatives. Of course, this remains still a problem because we know that the Gemara says Kim, that the Avos were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. So how will we reconcile this? So some say they were only Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov married Rachel and Leah in Chutz Loretz. Others say they were only Mekayim Mitzvahs Asay, not Mitzvahs Lois Asay. Others explain that we, Jews, have to follow the Torah under all circumstances. The Torah mitzvahs are not optional. However, by the Avos, when they saw the need, given that they weren't explicitly yet commanded to Mekayim all Torah mitzvahs, when they saw that for their specific need, there was a reason that they shouldn't be Mekayim the Torah mitzvahs, they weren't obligated. And here, Yaakov saw that he needed to marry Rachel and Leah. Others say that it was only Avram Avinu that was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, not the other Avos, Yitzchak and Yaakov. So again, this individual, Yesh Lo Sher'aim, he's not allowed to marry maternal relatives. Ve'en Lo Sher'av, but paternal relatives he may marry. Okay, so what does that mean? Nosim Achosim Ein, if he married his maternal sister, Yoitzi, he has to divorce her. Men'av, but his paternal sister, Yekayim, he could remain with. If he married a maternal sister of his father, the halach is yoitzi. He has to divorce her, because, as we're going to learn, achois aviv is asur. Mina av, but if he married a paternal sister of his father, yekayim, he can remain with her. If he married a maternal sister of his mother, yoitzi, he has to divorce her. Now, if there's a woman who's a paternal sister of his mother, Remeya Omer Yoitzi, Remeya says they have to get divorced. Remeya says, by if we would allow such a marriage to continue, we may end up having situation, the ger may come to marry maternal relatives that are usur. The chum hold under such circumstances, yakayim, they can remain married. Shehoi Remeya Omer, kol erva shimshum shera aim, any maternal relatives, yoitzi, he has to divorce. Mishum shera av, if they're paternal relatives, the loch is yakayim, he could stay with them. Umutter continues the braisa, he may remain be'eshes achiv with his, with the wife of his brother, or be'eshes achiyaviv with the wife of his father's brother. V'shal kol arayis mutar salav, so too are other arayis mutter, and the Gemara right away identifies who does that mean. Lasuya eshes aviv, he's allowed to marry the wife of his father who, when they're no longer married. Nosa isha ibita, as Rashi explains, if there was a circumstance that a ger was megayer, and this ger, when he was megayer, was married to a mother and her daughter, the halacha is koines achas umeitzi achas. He could keep one wife and divorce the other. However, ulechatchila layichnas, even though our braisa mentioned all the paternal relatives with whom the ger could remain married to, says the braisa, the lechatchila, he should not marry these relatives. And again, the reason explained the Rishonim is because we don't want that people should assume, knowing that he's a Jew, people may assume that a Jew is allowed to marry these people, and to avoid such a mistake, we tell him not to marry such a woman. Meisa ishtoi, if his wife died, muta b'chamoisai, he's allowed to marry his mother-in-law. V'ikadamri, the other version is osu b'chamoisai. So here we have the kasha. And again, as we're learning our Gemara according to Rashi, the kasha is double question. One question is that here the Braisa clearly says that he's allowed to marry Chamoisai. He's allowed to marry Kalosai, his mother-in-law or his daughter-in-law. Now the Isser for somebody to marry a mother-in-law by us, by Klal Yisrael, is a Chiv Misa. If we follow Rameya's opinion, Rameya's opinion is that anything that's an Issa Daraisa by Klal Yisrael should be Osir by Goyim also. So we're learning, again, let's learn with Rashi, Shlo Yoimu, that in order that we shouldn't say Bom Mekadusha Chamur LeKadusha Kala, that anybody that he would not be allowed to marry as a Goy, he may not marry as a Jew. So according to Rameya, Chamoisoi, which is an Isser for a Jew to marry Chamoisoi, an Isser Chiv Skila, so the halacha ought to be that a Goy is also to marry Chamoisoi, and therefore this individual should not be allowed to marry Chamoisoi. The same question is by Kalosoi. On the other hand, Rameya said that anyone who by Klal Yisrael is not an Isser Misa, a goy is allowed to be married to. Eishes, achois aviv, achois imoy, are only Isser Kares. And if they're only Isser Kares, they shouldn't be usur for a Jew, for a goy, who was megayer, to marry them. Because what are we worried about? That people are going to say that while he was a goy, he couldn't marry them. How could he marry them as a Jew? A goy, according to a mayor, is allowed to marry these individuals, because a goy is mutab achois aviv achois imoy, given that the Klal Yisrael, there's only an Issacharis with these individuals. Amr Yehuda answers Rabbi Yehuda, loy kasha. We have here two brises that Rameya taught us. Harameya libid Rabbi Lezer, Harameya libid Rabbi Kiva. Rameya was a Talmud, both of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, as we learned in Masechta Beya, and therefore sometimes he taught halachas according to the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, and sometimes he taught brises according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So therefore, The first brisa that we began with in yesterday's shir, that anybody that's an iser, chiyif, misa, by Klai Yisrael, a goy is usher, represents the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The brisa with here, which doesn't have such a link, follows the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, which the machloikis of Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva is based on how to learn pshat in a pasuk. The Tanya. And the pasuk says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu said by Adam Rishon, Al ken yazav ish es aviv ves imoy. Rabbi Lezer explains the pasuk to mean, aviv means a chois aviv, that somebody is not allowed to marry his father's sister. Imoy means a chois imoy, his mother's sister. Rabbi Kiva, however, disagrees. Rabbi Kiva says, aviv means eishes aviv, his father's wife. Imai means Imai Mamish, his mother. And the Gemara explains. Before the Gemara explains this machlokes, the Gemara goes on to explain the rest of that pasuk, v'dovak, that a person should be v'dovak v'loy b'zocher. Mishkav zocher is asur. And the Mefarsh and Rashi explains, how do we understand this? This is the way the Taras Chaim explains Rashi's pshat. Normally, when the Torah speaks about people having relations, the Torah says v'shachav. Here the Torah uses a very interesting word. The Torah uses the word v'dovak to teach us that only in a situation where v'dovak is possible, which is between a man and a woman, that is the type of relations, given that there is no eserva that is permitted. Any other type of relation is aser. So the Torah is teaching us that v'dovak means when there's hanor. In fact, there's a fascinating vart in the Hagdoma of the Sefer Egli Tal, written by the Evnei Nezer, that he uses this concept that our Gemara teaches us. He says that here we see that the word v'dovak only applies where there is hanor. The question that he is discussing there is, when one learns Torah, should he have Hanor? Or is Torah supposed to be a mitzvah that I'm supposed to do without Hanor? Says the Egli Tal, that the Torah says, V'atem hadveikim b'ashem elokeichem chayim kulchem hayoyim. The Torah uses the words v'dovak. And our Gemara, the Rishonim in our Gemara, just taught us that v'dovak is only through Hanor. So not only may one enjoy learning Torah, suggests Egli Tal, but Egli Tal says that only through learning Torah with Hanor are we truly mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. V'davak v'loy b'zocher b'ishtoi, continues the Gemara explaining, v'loy b'eshes chaveroi, one can have adulterous relationship. V'hoyu l'basa echad, the only type of relationship that's passable, that's mutter, is mishan nasan basar echad, when the two people come together as one. Yotz behem v'chaya, when there's relations with an animal, shein nasan basar echad, that they never become together as one. And now the Gemara begins to explain the braisa and the machloikas between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva. Omemar, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Rabbi Lezer said, aviv means a chois aviv. Ask the Gemara, why do we define aviv to mean his father's sister? Perhaps it should mean aviv mamish, that a person not allowed to have relations with his father. Says the Gemara, for that I don't need the pasuk aviv, because as we just learned, hayin v'dovak b'loy b'zachar, the Torah taught us that mishkav zachar is aser. Ema, so says Rabbi Lezer, or says the Brisa, perhaps aviv should mean eshes aviv, his father's wife. Says the Gemara, for that too I don't need a pasuk. Hayin b'ishtoi v'loy b'eshes chaveroi, his father's wife is already excluded at the end of the pasuk, where it says that relations with eshes ish is aser. But says the Gemara, maybe it means lachamisa, where she's no longer an eshes ish. Says the Gemara, dumya de imai, we compare it to imai. Ma imai de lav ishes, by his mother. It's not a the Torah speaks about aviv v'imai. The relation between one and his mother is not a relationship based on marriage. It's a broad relationship. Says Rabbi Lezer, if the Torah puts together the words aviv v'imai, we have to explain that they're both speaking about the same type of relation. And if imai means not through marriage, blood relative, aviv means also not a relationship that was created through marriage, rather a blood relative, and that's why Rebbe Elazar teaches Aviv to mean Achos Aviv, Av my Imoy Delav Ishus, Av Aviv Delav Ishus, rather means his father's sister. Imoy, again, Rebbe Elazar defines Imoy to be Achos Imoy. Again, asked the Gemara, maybe it means Imoy Mamish, that his mother. Says the Gemara, for his mother, I don't need this pasuk, because Hanav Ishtev Eloy Beishus Chaveroy, his mother's an Eishus Ish. Says the Gemara, maybe he's talking about his mother after his father passed away, so she's no longer an Eishus Ish. Says the Gemara, Dumi the Aviv, Ma Aviv. The word Aviv can mean his father Mamish, because as we explained a minute ago, his father Mamish, I don't need the pasuk Aviv to teach me his Otzer, because his father Mamish would be a situation of Mishkav Zachar. Af Imoy, again, Rebbe Elazar is very anxious to keep the words Aviv and Imoy consistent, and therefore Imoy is not Mamish. Imoy means Achais Imoy, his mother's sister. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says Aviv means Eishes Aviv. Ask the Gemara again, Veima Aviv Mamish. Maybe it means I can't have relations with his father. Says the Gemara, for that I don't need the word Aviv, because we already have the end of the pasuk that says V'Davak V'Loy B'Zachar. So Aviv is also because of Mishkav Zachar. Yehachi, ask the Gemara, if that's the approach Rabbi Kiva is going to take, ask the Gemara, Eishes Aviv Nami. We don't need a pasuk for, because we already have the pasuk Eishtoi V'Loy B'Eishes Chaveroi, that an Eishes Ish is Aser. Answers the Gemara, we're referring, says Rabbi Kiva, Lachamisa. Lachamisa, she's no longer an Eishes Ish, so I can't learn it from Eishtoi V'Loy B'Eishes Chaveroi. Rather, I learn from the word Imoy, and rather, it must be Eishes Aviv. Imoy. So according to Akiva, Aviv means Eishes Aviv. Imoy means Imoy Mamish. Ask the Gemara, according to Akiva. Ask the Gemara, Hainab Ishtav Alay B'Eishes Chaveroi. If it means its mother, his mother's an Eishes Ish. An Eishes Ish we already learned from the second part of the Pasuk is Asur. Answers the Gemara. It's talking about Imoy Menasasai. His father violated a woman, to whom he was obviously not married, and that is his mother. So she's clearly not an Eishes Ish. Yet the Torah is teaching us with this word Imoy, that he's not allowed to have a relationship with that mother either. So here we have a very fundamental machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Kiva, how to teach the words Aviv and Imoy in the pasuk. Rabbi Elazar's definition of Aviv and Imoy is Achois Aviv and Achois Imoy. Rabbi Kiva's definition of Aviv and Imoy is Aviv means Eishes Aviv, Imoy means Imoy Mamish. Ask the Gemara B'mai Kamifki, what is the basis of the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar sover, Rabbi Elazar is of the opinion, Aviv demu de Imoy. What's most important to Rabbi Elazar is that the words Aviv and Imoy should be as consistent as possible. Aviv demu de Imoy, v'imoy demu de Aviv. They should be as consistent as possible. And the way we could achieve that kind of consistency is lo mishkachs lo el ba'achva. Only if we say that Aviv means Achois Aviv and Imoy means Achois Imoy. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, holds mutar la'akme ba'eshes Aviv, dikri ervis Aviv, lafuke Achois Aviv, desher Aviv ikri, ervis Aviv lo yikri. Rabbi Kiva agrees that Rabbi Elazar's goal of having the words Aviv and Imoy be consistent is a very proper goal. Rabbi Kiva finds that in achieving that goal, we can't just distort psukim. And according to Rabbi Elazar, the definition of the word aviv means achois aviv. Says Rabbi Kiva, in the Torah, when the Torah speaks about ervas aviv, the Torah speaks about an eishes aviv called ervas aviv. A sister of a father, we don't find the Torah calling ervas aviv. The Torah calls the sister She'er Aviv. So to take the word Aviv, says Rabbi Kiva, and say that the word Aviv means Achois Aviv is an unacceptable stretch. And therefore, even though according to Rabbi Kiva, we're going to have an inconsistency, with Aviv meaning Eishes Aviv, Imay meaning Imay Mamish, Rabbi Kiva says, I have no choice, because to say that Aviv means Achois Aviv is a distortion of the Pshat. But what comes out from this machloikis? According to Rabbi Elazar, a goy, the pasuk was speaking to the Bnei Noach, is osir
b'chois ovi v'chois imoy. Even though that by Klal Yisrael, they're only chiyuv karis. Clearly, different than the opinion that Rameyah said in the Braisa on the bottom of Daf Nun Zayin Amabeis. However, Rabbi Kiva can't follow that opinion of Rameyah can't follow Rabbi Kiva, because achois ovi v'chois imoy, which are only chiyuv karis, indeed will be mutter by goy. It's only cases like Eishes Aviv, Chamasai, which are all Chiyuve Mises Bezdin, will be Osir by a goy. Ask the Gemara on the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. Toshma, the Pasuk says, V'yikach Amram as Yocheved Deidosai. Amram told Yocheved his aunt as a wife. My love, Deidosai Menein. Doesn't it mean that he took his father's maternal sister? I, Rabbi Lezer, is saying that Achois Aviv is Osir. Says the Gemara, Loi. It wasn't his maternal sister. It wasn't his father's maternal sister. Yocheved was his father's paternal sister. It was his paternal sister. Even Rabbi Lezer would agree that Goyim are mutter in their paternal aunts. Toshma. We find that Avram Avinu tells Avimelech that Sarah was his sister. And then when Avimelech discovers that she was actually not his sister, but rather his wife, so he challenges Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu responds, "V'gam amna achoisi bas avihi ach loy bas imi." She was my sister, she's from my father's side, but not from my mother's side. Mechlal, doesn't this seem to imply the bas eim asura? Going back to the beginning of our shir. At the beginning of our shir, we said that by Goyim, by Bnei Noach, there's a difference between paternal relatives and maternal relatives. What is the basis for that distinction between maternal relatives and maternal relatives? This pasuk. This pasuk says, "V'gam amna choisi bas avihi, ach loy bas imi." Avram Avinu was defending himself and saying she's my paternal relative, not my maternal relative. Now, if according to Bekiva, for there is no iser for a goy to marry a sister, so what's the difference? What type of a sister she is? B'tizbro, achois avoy, says, well, that pasuk can't be taken literally anyway. Because achois avoy was sorry his sister, bas achav avoy, she was his brother Haran's daughter. V'kiva d'achihi, and since she was his niece, therefore, a niece is always permitted. A niece is even permitted to Jews, so certainly it's permitted to Goyim. What Avram meant to say to Avimelech was, what he was saying was as follows. Sarah was Haran's daughter. Haran was Avram Avinu's half-brother. They shared their same father, Terach. And the way Avram Avinu was defending himself to Avimelech was by saying, we know we have a rule, b'nei bonim kareim kebonim. Grandchildren are like children. So Sarah was Terach's granddaughter, which is like a daughter, and I'm Terach's son. So it turns out that Avram and Sarah can be considered like brother and sister, and that's how Avram Avinu defended himself to Avimelech. Again, the Gemara asks on Rabbi Kiva that Noach is allowed to marry his sister. Tashma, Neimah loy nasa Adam espitay. Why didn't Adam marry his daughter? Kedei sheyisus kain eschoisoy. In order that Kain should be able to marry his sister. And as Tosfos explains the Gemara's question, when Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, she should have died. Who would Avram Avinu marry? He would marry his daughter. He would have then married his daughter. Why didn't that happen? Because if Avram Avinu would have married her, Cain could not have married her. In order that Cain should be able to marry his sister, and that's how we could apply, says the Gemara, the Pasuk, Shememar, Kimati Oilim Chesed Yibona. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to build the world with Chesed, and this was an act of kindness HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Cain, that he left him his sister. Halavachi, so it seems, only because of this specific special circumstance was Cain, do we allow this to happen. Halavachi, if not for this specific special circumstance, Asira, they could not marry sisters. Shouldn't this be a raya that a goy can't marry a sister? Says the Gemara, on the contrary. Once Cain was allowed to marry his sister, came into Ishtri, Ishtri. Once they was able to marry, once that became mutter, it remained mutter for all future generations to do so. Amar Rav Huna, says Rav Huna, kuti mutter b'bitay. A kuti is allowed to marry his daughter. Rim Timer, and if you'll ask, if a kuti is allowed to marry his daughter, name maloy nasa adam is b'bitay, why didn't adam marry his daughter? Kidei she'isa kain is a chaysay, in order that Cain should be able to marry his sister, mishub oil mechesed yibana. Vurkidamri, another version has it, Amar Rav Huna, kuti is actually asva b'bitay. A kuti may not marry his sister. Teda, she'loy nasa adam is b'bitay. Because we see that Adam didn't marry his daughter, even though it would have made sense that Chava should die and he should marry her. Says the Gemara, that proof is rejected because of Lahi. Hasmahinu Tama, the reason over there that Adam didn't marry his daughter was in order that Cain should be married, Kedei Sheisa Cain Sechaisai, that in order Cain should be able to marry his sister, Bishim Da'olim Chesed Yibana, because Hashem wanted to do a Chesed with Cain. Amar Rav Chisda. Eved is mutter be'imoy and mutter be'bitoy. Even though we're learning now that a goy may not marry his mother or his daughter under certain circumstances, all of that doesn't apply to an eved. An eved is somebody who had mila and tefila, but he's not a full-fledged Jew. So even though a goy is not allowed to marry his mother or daughter, an eved is in a different category. They're not considered related to him anymore, because since he had meal of a tefillah, as we said at the beginning of the shir, Gershon is Geyer, Kikotin Shinoi Ladami. But on the other hand, since he's not considered a full-fledged Jew, the concern that we discussed at the beginning of the shir, Kadesh Shalayimu, Baum, Kadusha Chamur, Kadusha Kala, doesn't exist either. Yotze Meklal Kuti, because he's not considered Bel Noyach anymore, that the halacha of Bnei Noyach should apply to him. However, Klal Yisrael Leba, he hasn't come into the category of Klal Yisrael. Continues the Gemara, Kiyosar of Dimi, Amar of Eloza, Amar of Chanina, Ben Noyach Sheichet Shivcha L'Avdai. If Ben Noyach designated a Shivcha for his wife, or Baalea, and then he had relations with that woman, Narugalea, he's executed for having relations with her. And as Rishonim explained this Gemara, and it's really a continuation of an explanation that we said in our previous year, but the Rishonim explained our Gemara is saying is as follows, that if a woman was designated, there would be an Isser Gezel. If they had relations, it would be an Isser of Gilui Arayis. But here, even though she was designated, and according to some Rishonim, perhaps they even had relations, given that it's for an Eved, not for a regular person, the halacha changes. And the designation is only considered that she's like his wife when it takes on a more serious level. What is that serious level? Me'emus, Amram Nachman, Medekar Le'revista Planya. Where everybody in town calls her the girl of that Eved, that it's that Eved's wife, then and only then is she considered the Eved's wife, and then and only then would the halacha be that he's nergalel? On the other hand, Me'emus HaTarasa, at what point is she no longer considered that Eved's designated white woman? On Rav Huna, B'shapar Rosh B'shuk. In those days, even non-Jewish women would cover their hair. When she no longer covers her hair, she's not considered the wife of someone. Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Chanina. Ben Noach Shabal Ishto Shloi Kedarka. If a man had unnatural relations, Ben Noach had unnatural relations with his wife, Chayif. Shinam Vidovak, only in the normal way, Veloy Shloy Kedarka. Ask the Gemara, Is there a circumstance where a Jew would not be chayiv? The kuti mechayiv and a kuti would be chayiv. If a benoy had relations with someone else's wife, shloike darka pata. My tama be ishtoy v'loy be'eshes chaveroy. Even though a guy can't have relations with someone else's wife, only if it's done v'dovak in the normal way, v'loy shloike darka. If it's not done in the normal way, then the halacha is that it's not considered that he had improper relations. Omer Reb Chanina, if a guy hits a Jew, chayiv misa. Shenema v'yifin koi v'koi, he looked here and there, v'yakein ish v'yachas hatzimitzri. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that there was nobody going to come out from this person, and therefore he killed him for hitting another Jew, which we'll discuss more in a moment. So ask the Mefarshim, so why isn't this mentioned as one of the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach? So the Mefarshim explain that even though when the Gemara says the Rambam's explanation is Ovichar Chom Shikas Yisrael, it's Chayiv Misa, but it's not Chayiv Misa's Bezdin. It's Chayiv Misa b'dei Shemayim. Others explain that since there's a distinction between when he hits a Jew versus when he hits a non-Jew, that's why it's not mentioned here, because it's only reflecting in a situation when he hits a Jew. That's why, explained the Mefarshim, we could understand that when the Gemara here says that V'yav Kein Ish, he saw that nobody great would come out of this person. What's the difference of who would come out from this mitzri? If the mitzri is chayiv misa, it's chayiv misa. But according to the explanation of the Rambam, says the Meril Diskin, it's very understandable, because the Torah is not saying that he's always obligated misa's bezdin, and therefore we have to look at each circumstance individually. V'omer Rav Chanina, hasoita loya sheyisrael. If somebody slaps a Jew, kilosoita loya sheshchina. It's as if he struck Kaddish Baruch Hu. Shnema Moikish Adam Yola Kaddish. If somebody hits a person, it's like he did it to Kaddish. As the Maral explains, because since we are all created B'Tselem Elokim, so hitting a person is like hitting the Tselem Elokim Rachmana Litzlan. Magbiya Avdoi Shabbos Simen, says the Gemara, Omer Eish Lakish Hamagbiya Yodel Lachaveroi. If somebody lifts up a hand against another Jew, against somebody else, Abishleiko, even though he didn't actually hit him, Nikar Rosh, he's already considered a Rosha. Shenemar, V'yomer LaRosha, Lama Saka Re'echa. Moshe Rabbeinu says, when he found two Jews fighting, he says, Lama Saka Re'echa. Says the Gemara, Lama Hikisa Loi Nemar. He doesn't say, why you hit him? El Lama Saka, why did you want to hit him? Abish Lahiko, even though he didn't hit him, Nikra Rasha, he's called a Rasha for doing so. Ask the Masha that maybe he was a Rasha anyway. What's the Raya that this is the reason that he's a Rasha? So the Mefarshim say, the Inyakov explains, that the entire word Rasha in this Pasuk is superfluous. What does the Pasuk have to call us? V'yayim Elam HaSakariach, he should have said, why are you hitting him? The fact that the Torah adds the words Rasha, and it's not, says the Mashad, just Moshe Rabbeinu saying it, it's the Torah saying it. That's why Elam HaSakariach. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, why is he called a Rasha if he didn't hit him yet? We know that Machshav Ra, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzar Filamaisa. So the sort of Imre Emma says, just the act of picking up the hand is already considered Tchilas Maisa, for which the person is Chayiv. I saw another beautiful pshat. The word Asher stands for Einayim, Shinayim, Yodayim, and Raglayim. Somebody who has all of these limbs in his body, and he properly controls those limbs to use them properly, is an usher. But if somebody uses the yud, the yudayim, improperly, he uses to hit another Jew, that person is missing the ayin, the yud from the word usher, and remains a rusher. Continues the Gemara. Amar Ze'iri Amar Chanina Nikra Chayte. If somebody acts this way, he's considered a sinner. Shnema from Loy Lakachti B'Chazaka Fati. There's referring to the children of Eli, that they said, they told people that they have to bring kabbonis, and if not, they'll take it to them, but they'll take it by force. And the pasuk says, "V'ti chatas an orim gedoy lema'oid." Rav Huna amar tikot etz yodai. His hand should be cut. Shnem is roya to shaver. Rav Huna cut yodai. Rav Huna would cut off the hand of somebody who would hit somebody else. It's machlokes rishayim. Indeed, if he actually cut off the hand, that's the opinion of some rishayim. And in that opinion, that I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that he actually felt lahalocha, that that is what the din is, that somebody who hits someone else should have his hand cut off. Another pshat is that he did it because he felt that that was within the purview of Bezdin's authority to prevent people from hitting each other improperly. Another pshat was that he just valued the value of the hand, but he didn't actually cut it. And yet a third pshat is there's a nafkamina. If somebody just raised his hand to hit someone else, Rav Huna would assess him a fine. Versus a Rav Huna, if somebody actually hit somebody else, then he would actually cut off his hand. Rav Elazar Eimer, Ein Leitkana El Kfura. There is no eitz for such an individual who picks up his hand, only to be put into the ground. Shenemar, Yis Roya Loi Ha'aretz. Somebody who puts up his hand will end up in the ground. As the Mefarshim explained, the Mida Kenegamida, he picks up his hand, that means his hand goes upwards from the ground upwards, so because he did such an act, he will be put into the ground. Ramar Belozer, Leinit Nakarka El Labali's Royce. Land ownership was only given to strong people. Shnemar V'is Roya Loi Haaretz. So there's many pshatim in this Gemara, too. One pshat that I saw in this Gemara is that the Gemara is teaching us that this, that it's a continuation of the previous Gemara, that strong people, the people that fight, will end up in the ground. Another pshat is that somebody, it's very hard to keep and prove ownership of land. Only somebody who's Isroya, somebody who's a strong person, Loya Aretz, he will be able to continue showing proof of ownership of the land that can't be contested. Another pshat, the Meiri learns this pshat, if Isroya Loya Aretz, is that in order to see success in having in land, a person has to put effort into the land. Vizroya, if somebody works hard, loy ha'aretz, he will derive pleasure from the ground. And says the Miri, the same as by Talmud Torah. Somebody who works hard at his learning will see success. Ve'amirish lakish. Ma'idik sev oidve admasa yizba lachem. And ma'isa adam atzmak evel adama, that he works hard on the ground, yizba lachem, then he will be satisfied. Vimlav, if not, loy yizba lachem, he won't be satisfied. He won't see fruits of his labor. If a guy keeps Shabbos, his chayiv misa. Shnema v'yoyim v'layla lo yishbaisu. V'yoyim v'layla lo yishbaisu. Goyim work all the time. V'amamar, as harasem shalhem zim asasin. Again, the Rambam says, not that it's misa's bezdin, but his chayiv misa b'dei shemayim. Om Ravina, so if so, a feel of shenim v'shabbos, even on Monday, says the Gemara, this says Ravina even on Monday. Why does the Gemara pick Monday? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is because Sunday, a lot of places are still keeping Shabbos Sunday, depends on where you are. But Monday, nobody has Shabbos. Or furthermore, that one is not allowed to keep Shabbos on Sunday because it's a religious holiday by other religions. It's obvious that you can't keep that day as a holiday because that falls under the category of Avodah Zarah. Here we're teaching us that even Monday, which is no longer a holiday, nobody keeps that Monday as a religious day of rest, still, a goy shishavas is chayiv misa. And we'll discuss this more in a moment. From here, in fact, the Chassam Sofer says, the Chassam Sofer is the one that says that Sunday, the Gemara didn't mention Sunday because in some places Sunday is still Shabbos depending on the time zone. From here we see, says the Chassam Sofer, that Shabbos should be kept according to where you are on Shabbos, not any other factor. The question comes up, the Paiskim discuss a question, let's say somebody was Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, and Shabbos, Motzei Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, he gets into a Concorde jet, and he still arrives in Chutz Laaretz when it's still Shabbos, he arrives in America when it's still Shabbos. Would he have to keep Shabbos or not? The Sam Sofer says absolutely he would. But the Rabbanan, everybody agrees he would. The Shabbos Midaraisim. Ask the Gemara, "Lech shegab shev mitzvahs." So why isn't this mentioned as one of the Sheva mitzvahs? Answers the Gemara, "Ki kachashiv." We're only mentioning Sheva taisa, something that involves. We're only mentioning things that goyim are not allowed to do. Konvasei, this is a positive thing that they have to work. That's like a kachashiv, not mentioned in the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Ask the Rabbi Dinim, "Konvaseihu." Dinim, appointing batei dinim is kumvasev kachashiv, and it says the gemara kumvasev shavat tasenu. It has a positive and a negative, that we have to make sure that justice is served, but at the same time we have to make sure that there's no perversion of justice, and that's why it's not mentioned. So our gemara clearly said that goy sheshavas is chayiv misa. Why is goy sheshavas chayiv misa? So mefarshim explain. Because Shabbos Adam Le'umel Yulad, a person was created to work. You have to work all the time. A Jew who can learn Torah, so on Shabbos he has the ability to do Amal. His Amal was Torah, but a guy doesn't have that ability. And since a guy doesn't have that ability, he can't be Shomer Shabbos. Another pshat is because the pasuk says that the Gemara says Gimel Me'idim Zelzer, the three that say Eidus on each other, Yisrael. So the guy doesn't belong in that group, and because the guy doesn't belong in the group, the halacha is goy sheshavas chayiv misa. I saw a very beautiful vort. The Gemara quoted yoyim v'layil lo yishbosu. We know the difference between Jews and goyim is by us the layla comes before the yoyim. But a goyim, it's yoyim and then v'layla. So the pasuk is saying yoyim v'layla. The people who count the yoyim and then the layla, they lo yishbosu, are not included in shmirah Shabbos. And that's why the mefarshim say that a goy that we do tshuva on erev Shabbos. Why do we do tshuva on erev Shabbos? Because if there's any aspect of avera in our lives, so that aspect is the goy part of our lives, and goy sheshavas chayiv misa, so Jews should do tshuva before Shabbos. Furthermore, from here we could see why halachically, whenever we speak about is somebody considered a religious Jew or not a religious Jew, the barometer is always shmir Shabbos. Why shmir Shabbos? Because here we see that goy sheshavas chayiv misa. What distinguishes us from goyim is the Shabbos, and that's why we use shmir Shabbos as the barometer. So ask the Mefarshim a very famous question. If a goy is not allowed to be Shomer Shabbos, we know, and we quoted this a little earlier, that Avraham Avinu was Shomer Shabbos. He even kept Erev Tavshilin. But there's an old question, was Avraham Avinu considered a Jew or not? If Avraham Avinu wasn't considered Jewish, why isn't there a problem of goy sheshavas chayiv misa? So in fact, the Parashas Drachim says, based on this Gemara, we see that it must be that the others were considered B'nai Yisrael. But there are many other Tzurutzim. One Teretz that I saw from the Hafla, very beautiful Teretz, is that if Avraham Avinu kept Shabbos, like we're supposed to keep Shabbos, Friday night and Shabbos by day. But if he was a goy, Shabbos would be Shabbos by day and Matzoi Shabbos. So if he was a Jew, he was Shomer Shabbos. If he was a goy, he didn't keep what was Saturday by him, because Saturday would have extended till Matzoi Shabbos Chatzos, and like that he wasn't Mechal Shabbos. Another pshat that I saw is that he put on tzitzis. So if he's Jewish, so tzitzis is not considered something that's a Matzoi, and you're allowed to wear them on Shabbos. If he's a goy, so he doesn't have to wear tzitzis, and tzitzis is considered carrying, and that's how he was Shomer Shabbos. The Shalom Meishiv gives a different teretz. The Shalom Meishiv says that he carried a heavy load on Shabbos. And as the Gemara says, Masechet Shabbos, even though it's probably now within the spirit of Shabbos, it isn't also to do so on Shabbos. So, but it is considered for Goy Malacha. So that's what he did on Shabbos. The same question would come up about a ger. Somebody is about to become a ger and he has to practice all the mitzvahs. But what should he do with the concern of Goy Shabbos Chai Misa? The answer is, since he's about to become Jewish, there is no concern of Goy Shabbos Chai Misa. The same to be with them. They were preparing themselves and their future generations to be Jewish. And so then the same category of a ger that doesn't have the problem of Goy Shabbos Chai Misa.